We're in Daniel chapter 10 in Sunday school. We missed last week and appreciate Carl teaching. And then next week, Matt Holly will be teaching the Sunday school class.
The mic behind you on the podium.
And so we'll miss next week. But we got to introduce quite at least what chapter 10 is about. And we're going to be looking at chapter 10, I believe the whole chapter, the rest of the chapter today. We might not be done with what we want to say about it, but we're certainly going to cover the verses. And it's an exciting part to me, the things that it opens up. I told you when we started Daniel chapter 10 that Daniel 10 gives us an opening, a view of activities in the heavens. And Only by Scripture can we know any of these things, and we'll look at some of the things that are said and try to add some detail to them. And it's just something that I'm so intrigued about that I could go on. In fact, 2 weeks from today, I believe, I'll be preaching at the 11 o'clock hour, and I'll be picking up in Daniel chapter 10 to talk about some things that we introduced about angels a month or so ago. So it's a great chapter. So let me read to you the vision that Daniel had in chapter 10 that an angel is now going to come and give him an understanding of. It says in verse 5, Daniel 10, verse 5, it says, I lifted up mine eyes and behold, and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. His body was like that of Burley, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as the lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like colors of polished brass, and his voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking, and fell upon them. A great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my countenance was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now, we'll stop right there, because what the vision Daniel saw is exactly what John, the Apostle John, saw in the opening of the book of Revelation. And if you remember that class, that's what we pointed out. I just wanted to remind you that it's a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ coming back to reign on the earth. So what Daniel saw was the coming of the glorified King of Israel, coming in power and great glory, coming to put down all rule and authority, coming to destroy the great Gentile powers, coming to reign as king over all the earth through the nation of Israel. That's what he's seeing when he sees that vision, and that's what all those details remind you of. It's what John, as I said, in the book of Revelation, starts out seeing Jesus Christ, but seeing him come back in judgment to destroy the Gentile powers and to set up his kingdom on this earth. And so there's going to be a judgment involved in that. And so that's what Daniel is seeing. Now, with that, we continue to see some things that are revealed to us. In verse 9 it says, yet I heard a voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep and on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So Daniel, we see, is just, you know, dropped right down to his face. And then all of a sudden, someone touches him. We'll talk about who touches him. But it's interesting that in this chapter, the Holy Spirit would have us to realize Daniel's going to be touched three times. And it'll be significant of what takes place on each time. Over in verse 16, it says, and behold, one like the similitude of the Son of Man touched me, touched my lips, and opened my mouth and spake and said, and so forth. So he gets touched again, and then down in verse 18, then came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and strengthened me, and something else is going to take place. So Daniel's touched three times in this, and you realize that Daniel is just, well, he says his countenance for my comeliness was turned, in verse 8, into corruption, and I retained no strength. Daniel just flat out on the ground. He couldn't even get up until this angel comes and touches him. When I said an angel, the one who comes and touches him, most people think it's Gabriel. And there's a good reason for that. If you look at verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Beloved. Anyhow, the angel that visited him in chapter 8, and maybe back in chapter 7 or earlier, was Gabriel. And the only reason I bring that up is most people will just say, this is Gabriel. And yet when this chapter, it never does say it's Gabriel, but he speaks like Gabriel talked in chapter 8. And so most people just believe it's Gabriel, but it doesn't matter necessarily, except that this angel comes, and when this angel comes, what he's going to do is he's going to tell Daniel, he's going to give him some strength, he's going to give him a revelation, going to explain to him what the vision was about, and then explain to him what's going to take place in the latter days. But in the process of doing that, he's going to explain to Daniel what it is that took him so long to get there. So in verse 12 there, then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now you might recall that when we started this chapter, Daniel's been fasting, as it says, 3 whole weeks. And it's important to realize when we read 21 days, we're actually talking about a week, not in Daniel chapter 9, where a week could be a period of 7 years. These are now 7-day periods, but 3 21-day days that Daniel's been waiting for an answer to his prayer. And the vision that Daniel sees is the answer to the prayer. He's praying about something else. And I pointed out to you that in the book of Ezra, that Zerubbabel led the people back to the land after 70 years of captivity. They laid the foundation for the temple, and then the adversaries began to attack the nation of Israel and to try to stop the building of the temple. And so when Daniel is praying, he's not praying about the vision, like what's the vision about. The vision is the answer to his prayer, and his prayer is about what's going on with Israel, how come they're being, the adversary is winning, how come there's trouble with the rebuilding of the temple, and the angel is going to come and explain to him how things are going to end, how Israel is finally going to be blessed, how God is going to bring all that about, and it starts with the vision of Jesus Christ at the second coming that hasn't even taken place yet, coming back to restore all things and to set up his kingdom on the earth through the nation of Israel. So this prayer is finally going to receive an answer, but Daniel prayed about it, and it took the angel 21 days to get to him to answer that. So it says, he's come for thy words at the end of verse 12, and then verse 13 says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. So that's why he couldn't get to him. He left. Soon as Daniel prayed, he came with an answer to his prayer, but he never made it to Daniel because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this being 21 days. And then it goes on to say, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, there's more detail in here that we're going to cover. I first want to talk about the three touchings of Daniel. But you realize there's some activity there. And I'm calling this man an angel. And when we talk about Michael, one of the chief princes, as we're going to read this, pick up on the different terms. One of the chief princes. Well, there's other chief princes, apparently. There's other names. Michael, this is Michael the archangel that we learned from the book of Jude. There's other things. We'll talk about him in just a second. Well, come over to chapter 12, verse 1. And by the way, chapter 12, verse 1 is still the answer to this vision that Daniel saw in chapter 10. It's toward the end of the vision. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that is found written in the book. So there's the salvation of the remnant of the nation of Israel. And at the end time, Michael is going to stand up here. He's called the great prince. He's one of the chief princes. He's called Michael the archangel, top angel. So there's different, you can see the different order of power in the angelic world here. And so this one who's touching Daniel and getting to stand on his feet is an angel who's been hindered by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. And so this prince of the kingdom of Persia is a principality. He is not the prince, the human prince. No human prince is going to stop an angel from getting to Daniel. But there is a prince here that is in the angelic world. You're seeing a picture of some angelic warfare that takes place. And that angel doesn't want the prince of the kingdom of Persia does not want this angel sent from God to tell Daniel how Israel's going to finally have their kingdom. He's against that. He doesn't want Daniel to get that truth. So verse 13 again, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come. So he remained there 21 days. He's now freed up by Michael the archangel, a more powerful angel than this angel here, which could be Gabriel. But this Michael freed that angel, and so now he's come. But notice this verse 14 is the whole point of it all. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So that's what that angel didn't want, the prince of the kingdom of Persia didn't want this angel to come and tell Daniel what's going to befall his people in the latter days. And what befalls them is eventually all the blessings of the nation of Israel that God promised Israel are going to come to pass. Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom. In the meantime, there are Gentile powers that are opposing the nation of Israel and will. The times of the Gentiles get, the last Gentile power is going to be the Antichrist. And that'll all be explained in chapter 11. And then finally, Jesus Christ will come and reign. So picking up again in verse 15, just to get the flow of the chapter here. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became as dumb. So Daniel gets a revelation, or going to receive a, he hadn't really got the revelation. It's going to come in chapter 11 here. He sees the vision. The revelation is in chapter 11. But here he can't speak. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision of my sorrow are, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retained no strength. So Daniel's just having a hard time even getting back his strength, but he's actually dumb. He can't even speak at this point. And so the angel touched him. When the angel touched him, notice it says, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men. Similitude, something similar to a man. And angels are called men. The reason I point that out is there's some description here about an angelic being that adds to our understanding about angels. And then in verse 17, it says, for now, how can the servant of this my Lord talk with my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath in me. So Daniel still, he stood trembling, but now he's floored again, his face toward the ground, and he's dumb. He has no strength. And so the angel touches him again, verse 18. Then there rose again, then there came again, and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So if you didn't know what the similitude was, now you realize it's as the appearance of a man. He's not a man, but he's as the appearance of man, and he strengthens Daniel. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, that's the verse I was looking for. That's how Gabriel always approached Daniel. He kept calling him a man greatly beloved. And And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. So now Daniel's able to get the revelation. Everything had just floored him up to this point. When you look at the three things that the three times that Daniel is talked about, the angel, the first thing is that Daniel was like a dead man and then raised up. And then he's given the ability to speak. And then finally, his strength is gone in him, but he's given strength and breath. And when you kind of look at all three of those things, first thing you see, it's almost like when he says, I was like dead, it's almost like a resurrection took place. First, he's able to rise up like resurrection. Then he's allowed to speak. And then strength and breath comes into him. It's like he's alive again. I didn't say he's dead, but it's almost like he was killed, that the whole thing just floored him to that degree. I also looked at that and started thinking to myself, especially when he's dumb, he can't speak. Well, here he's a prophet of God. He's raised up to be a prophet of God, but can't speak until he's strengthened and has breath. He's going to have the breath of God in him. He's going to have the Spirit of God in him to speak the Word of God, and he's going to get that from this angel. Now, Daniel, these three things of touching him is preparing him to be the prophet that God called him to be. So we pick up in verse 20, and it says, Then said he, Knowest thou whereof I am come unto thee, and I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece, Grisa, shall come, but I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now I'll get to the details in verse 20 and 21, but before I do, he says, Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? Now, Daniel already knows. Why is this angel coming to him? Well, Daniel's been praying about Israel and the problems they're facing in rebuilding the temple and getting reestablished in the land again. And verse 14 was the reason the angel came to him. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, and yet the vision is for many days. That's why he came, to tell him how Israel in the latter days is finally going to have all their blessings from God. There's going to be a struggle before they get there. And then he begins to talk about the struggle that's going to take place. In fact, you have him saying he's going to return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, so he goes and fights with, and then he goes, and when he goes, the prince of Grecia shall come. And then the whole point is, I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Got to cover a couple things in that verse. Chapter 11, verse 1. Also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I understood. Even I stood to confirm and strengthen him. And now I will show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer, and so forth. This angel, you realize, okay, it affects even the three kings that are going to follow in Persia. So that's why I said this revelation that Daniel is given is going to explain to us what happens in the unseen world. And this gets extremely interesting, especially for a grace believer, because we understand some things about the dispensation of grace and the purpose of the dispensation of grace. Remember what the purpose is? Hold your place here. Come to Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul just flat out explains the dispensation of grace. I'm going right for the purpose. And you need to be there because there's a couple other things we want to look at here. Ephesians chapter 3. And the purpose of the body of Christ in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose of our existence, of our salvation and becoming a member of the body of Christ, is to teach things to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Things that were prior not made known to the sons of men, as they are now revealed. And you remember when Daniel is receiving that revelation, that angel comes to him in verse 21 of Daniel 10 and says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." Now think about that. The angel is going to come and tell Daniel what's noted in the scripture of truth. Was the book of Daniel written yet? We would consider Daniel's letter being the scripture of truth. The Bible is our scripture of truth. But apparently there's a Bible in heaven. And the angel, when you say scripture, by the way, scripture means writing. Not just the revelation of truth. But there is a written revelation of truth that this angel knows and is going to reveal it to Daniel. The Bible that exists in heaven is going to be written in earth because Daniel is going to write down this truth that's coming out of the scripture of truth in the heavens. So there's a Bible up there written that this angel knows about these things. It is going to reveal that to Daniel, and we're going to end up with a Bible here on earth. That's an interesting fact. There's something missing in that Bible in heaven. It's called the mystery. Never revealed before. Until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, to the intent that now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, another side of God's wisdom that they never knew because it wasn't in that scripture of truth. It was hidden in God all that time. So the angels can prophesy the prophetic program to the nation of Israel. It's written in advance. And Daniel is getting it. So you begin to realize, well, the biggest thing for me is to realize how real the angelic world is and some of the activity in the angelic world. Are you still holding Ephesians? If not, I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, talking about God's power to usward who believe, God's power in the age of grace. It says, which he wrought in Christ, verse 20 of Ephesians 1, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but that which is to come, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want you to see that list. Because when we talk about that angelic world, we talk about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and that Daniel is going to be left with the kings of Persia. So there's, when you start looking at the angelic world, that angelic world is divided up into, at least in Ephesians here, you have principalities, so that would be princes, but there's more than one. Powers, and that is like those that have the authority. I would look at them as judges. Might, that would be like the angelic powers, angelic might of the battle, the warriors. The host of heaven, as they're called. Dominion has to be with, you got principalities, they're princes, and dominion means that over a territory, but over that territory could be all kinds of different, we would have them governors and all kinds over different places, over different lands, the prince being above them and the king being above them. Notice there's no king except the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one over them all. But if you come over to Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians is the epistles of Paul that has the clear understanding of what the... You learn we are the body of Christ. Now you learn why God brought about the body of Christ. So after it says we have redemption through his blood in verse 14 of chapter 1, verse 15 says, speaking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Interesting, God's invisible, right? How do we know God? Through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became visible, took on human flesh. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Well, we know the visible is on the earth. We can see that. But he didn't just create earth. He created heaven and earth. and the heavens are invisible to us. Only through the eyes of faith are we going to know anything about this invisible world. And right here, we're going to get some understanding about that invisible world. It says, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones. Now, there's someone who's going to be as a local king over like different nations. Dominions, that's the dividing up of the territories. Principalities, well, that's someone who has power underneath the king, right? And then powers. All things were created by him and for him. And we could go on and realize the purpose of the body of Christ is that in all these things, Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. That's verse 18. I wanted you to see that these things exist. And back here in Daniel, you're just getting these different statements where you're getting some pictures of this world. Paul really gives a more thorough understanding of it all. But just to realize that they're invisible, but that doesn't mean they're not real. So if you go back to Daniel, let's go back to this angel that's coming to Daniel and having trouble with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. So again, going back to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me." Now, I don't know how many time in Sunday school is not going to allow me to do all this. But when we talk about Michael coming to help him, you read in the book of Jude how there's going to be, in the last days, people are going to speak against dignitaries. They're against all the rule of authority. God set up government. But there's going to be people speaking against government. And then Jude gives the illustration that even Michael, the archangel, he calls him, the top angel, did not rebuke Satan when they disputed over the body of Moses. Now, that's a whole story of why they're fighting over the body of Moses, but that doesn't matter. Moses is going to come back in the tribulation. But he says, Michael did not rebuke Satan, but said unto him, the Lord rebuke thee. So that Michael, if he's an archangel, Satan has even more authority than Michael. So that all Michael could do is take the authority over Satan, which is the Lord, and rebuke him based on the Lord's word, and keep the body of Moses for the purpose that God wanted him for. So there's these activities that the Bible just gives us little glimpses of, but you realize how powerful. Well, this angel came to Daniel. He didn't have power over the prince of the kingdom of Persia. He's not a prince. But the chief prince, one of the chief princes, Michael, he has more power than the prince. And he comes and frees this angel so this angel can now finish what God sent him to do to give an answer to this king. So it's interesting. And the reason it's interesting is you begin to realize he's called this demonic angel that doesn't want Daniel to know the truth of Scripture is called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Well, where are we in our study of the book of Daniel? Persia is now reigning. They're the next Gentile power to reign. And then there's that statement at the end of verse 13. After Michael comes, it says, "And I remained there with the kings of Persia." A prince has usurped some authority, and this angel is with the kings because of a prince, and he remains there until Michael frees him. So Michael frees him. So he comes to Daniel and he says, "Now you know," in verse 20, "Then he said, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia." Now, I get a little lost in this. If you're going to fight with the prince of Persia, are you going to fight on his side? Or are you going to fight with him? And I think that what's going on here is Michael has already freed against that prince of the kingdom of Persia. I get this part out anyhow. And now, look what takes place here. "I will return and fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth," something else happens, "lo, the prince of Greece shall come." What have you already learned from Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8? That the Gentile powers are going to be Babylon first, Media Persia second, Greece the third, then maybe Rome, but then ultimately the Antichrist kingdom. And so we look at that order. He's going to fight with the kings of Persia, the prince of Persia. And when he leaves, when he stops fighting with the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece is going to come and take over. And what's going to be the next Gentile power? Greece. You know what you're seeing in here? What takes place on earth first takes place in heaven. There are battles in heaven, and we learned that back in Daniel chapter, was it 4 or 5? Chapter where Nebuchadnezzar learned that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. We learned that what takes place in heaven affects the earth. Revelation chapter 12, Michael the archangel is going to fight with the devil and his angels, the dragon and his angels, and cast them out of heaven down to the earth. And woe to the inhabitants of the earth, but salvation is in the heavens. What takes place in the heavens has an effect upon the earth. And the political system in the heavens are having an effect on the earth. Now what we're going to do at this point, you're going to have to wait 2 weeks for this, I want to show you a picture of heaven and how close it looks to the earth. And all this is just the background to set that up so that you realize the reality, especially my point 2 weeks from today on Sunday. I'll have to teach both Sunday school lessons at the same time. That's not good. It's going to be the same message. But anyhow, what you're going to see is that, how was I going to put that? You're going to have to see it. I was stopped myself from saying it. Anyhow, that the heavens affect the earth, that's the natural point, but the reality of that we'll see as we continue on. This is a fascinating chapter to me. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for giving us insight to a world that we know nothing about. The world doesn't even think it exists. But we know from Scripture that it does exist and has a great effect on our life, even to our practical life, as Paul writes and says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that there's satanic influence, that we war against principalities and powers. We've met spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's a reality to that that the world knows nothing about. But when we study the Scriptures, we can know and realize what an effect we have even in the heavens. Father, I pray that we come back together and understand more of these truths. And even what we don't understand, just get a glimpse of there's activity there that we can be aware of. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.